You're listening to a classic business podcast as heard on Classic 1027. 1027. This is Classic Business with Michael Avery on Classic 1027 in Johannesburg and Fine Music Radio in Cape Town.
Well, we're roughly looking at my clock because in my living room, I don't have the same clocks as I do in my studio. Around 5 hours and 40 minutes away from the first national lockdown in our country's history. I never thought those are words I would be broadcasting over radio in 2020 as we began this new year. It's unprecedented. It's designed to limit the freedom of individuals in quite radical ways. And obviously, such restrictions ordinarily wouldn't pass constitutional scrutiny. However, these are not ordinary times. And these drastic measures are called for in order to flatten the curve, as has become the common phrase over the last few weeks. To answer some basic questions, though, about the lockdown, and there are many, I'm sure, so we won't be able to get all of them done, we've invited Councillor Lee Knott, MMC for Johannesburg's Department of Economic Development, the City of Johannesburg, that is, to talk about the regulations. Evening, MMC.
Good evening. Well, former MMC of Economic Development. I'm currently the DA caucus leader in Johannesburg.
Former MMC. Sorry, these things move so quickly.
I know.
Let's talk firstly about what some of the major concerns are. As we see a crackdown on our freedoms, and people always get concerned when they see the army on the streets, what are the powers of the SANDF at a time like this?
Well, I think, yes. I mean, we're not at the stage where we're in a state of emergency. We're in a state of national disaster. So there is quite a big difference between the two. And I think, you know, people were very sort of stressed out and you know, worried about what was going to happen because they didn't have a lot of answers to the questions that they were asking. I think since the initial announcement of the lockdown, we have had a lot of answers. A lot of it is coming from national because it is a national state of disaster. And a lot of those questions have been answered since that time. In terms of the army, they are deployed when we declare a national state of disaster. So that is done from the Ministry of Defence, and it is a normal progressive movement that happens whenever this would, you know, I mean, obviously we've never experienced it, but it would happen in such a case. What they do is they support the police during the lockdown. They will be in their combat uniform and they will be armed with standard issue R4 rifles. They do have the power to arrest people, but after having done so, they must hand them over to the police immediately, so that's your FA or SAPS. With a statement giving reasons for that arrest. And both the police and the army are compliant to follow principles of minimum force.
Principles of minimum force?
Yes.
Right. Now, when it comes to when we can leave our homes, there's been a lot made in the suburbs in particular about whether or not you can walk your dog or you can go jogging. There seemed to be some contradiction yesterday between the health minister and the police minister. What is the final word through the regulations? What may we do in the suburbs? Can we go walk the dog? Can we go for a jog?
Yes, I know our federal leader had a bit of a discussion with them as well with regards to the contradiction between the two, but it has since been clarified. And if you do look on the government website, the Minister of Health has retracted that statement. The purpose of the lockdown is to essentially stop the transmission of the virus. And we can't do that if people are still coming into contact with each other. If we have high transmission, it means we need to look at a further period of lockdown or even something more drastic than that. So the idea is to keep transmission down so that it actually sort of dies out eventually. People can leave their home for certain reasons, but not for jogging through the streets or, you know, walking their dogs, etc. They are supposed to be staying within their homes, inside their own closed-door properties. They can leave if they need to seek medical treatment. They have to buy groceries. It's recommended that they only go and buy groceries about once a week to keep contact down to the minimum. The banks will be open, so they can do that. They can go and buy petrol if they need to get medicine or chronic medication. The chemists will be open, the clinics and hospitals will be. Also, if you are performing an essential service, and that was published in the final regulations by COGTA, which are available, I think, if you ask any councillor, they in Johannesburg, they've all got copies of these regulations, but they are available on the government website. And that gives you also the form that your company needs to fill in if you are an essential service worker. And also, if you've been authorised to do so in order to perform auxiliary services for an essential service, and if you need to collect social grants.
And I think in terms of essential services, a lot of people dread the idea of staying for 3 weeks at home without access to their fibre or their internet and to Netflix and that kind of thing.
Yes.
I see that ICT providers are an essential service.
Yes, so in the city of Johannesburg, for example, your essential services are city power, Joburg water, metro bus on a limited scale in order to transport essential service workers. JRA has also been declared one. Pick It Up will be working at a more ramped up speed, particularly at informal settlements and indigenous areas. And your telecommunications infrastructure guys are also included under the regulation. So your Wi-Fi, your telecom, all of that stuff will be up and running, and I know a number of the Wi-Fi providers have actually given increased speeds over this time until at least the end of April.
They've certainly seen the opportunity to lure us in with the possibility of enjoying 100 or 200 meg download speeds. How many people are going to go back to their 50s after that? Now, obviously, there's an issue that needs to be clarified around what time of day you can go out. And there's so much fake information. There was, I think, a misinterpretation of times that were allowed to go to the stores that was actually meant for times that taxi operators might be able to commute. Can you just give us some clarity on what the curtailment will be on the times that we can actually leave our homes to go down and do the essential shopping?
Look, I think it's the normal times that your shopping centres would be open or your supermarkets. There is no regulator times in terms of the government gazetted regulation. It doesn't list specific times. It only lists essential services. Your local spa, for example, their hours are 7 to 7. If that's how they operate, they will be open 7 to 7. I wouldn't recommend people driving around at midnight because a lot of places are probably going to be closed. In terms of the transport services, all of these have been prohibited unless they are carrying essential staff, and those will be operating at a 50% capacity. So your taxis, your Uber, RioVia buses, none of those will be operational. So you will only be able to get public transport if you are an essential service worker. And I think the metro buses are available in case people need to utilize them in order to get to hospitals, to get medication and things like that.
Now, there was a lot made on social media today about the decision to ban outright the sale of cigarettes and alcohol during the 21 days. For two reasons. Firstly, it caused a spike in people going and not really isolating themselves at all, standing in queues, trying to stock up on booze and cigarettes for the next 21 days. And secondly, whether or not this now crosses a line in terms of social distancing and isolation on the one hand, and trying to encourage certain patterns of behavior behind closed doors. What do you make of that regulation?
Look, I think it's really difficult. In terms of the Disaster Act, which is a piece of legislation that exists, you know, it has always existed. What we're publishing now is amendments to that to cater for the current situation. So it is in there that the sort of sale of alcohol gets reduced during that time. And the reason is sort of multiple fold. With this particular virus, alcohol will actually diminish your immune system. So you shouldn't actually be drinking copious amounts of alcohol. It also diminishes our inhibition. So people become a lot more friendly and, you know, you've got a lot less social distancing during the time. So, you know, unfortunately this happens at a national level and we're operating at a local level. And, you know, we did try and urge people not to rush shops, not to panic buy. The normal stuff will be available and we've kind of had 2 or 3 weeks to build up to this where we knew it was coming. So, you know, I think consumer behavior also, you know, needs to be questioned a little bit. And perhaps maybe our frustration as residents, you know, in rushing off to go and buy these things because we're not certain of what's going to happen tomorrow. I think a large part of it is a little bit of fear in the eyes of citizens.
And a lot of that comes from uncertainty. Are we going to be able to find our favorite loo roll brand, which seems to have been one of the more popular items? Someone still has to explain to me why. But if you look at the big differences, and I know all countries are doing this and handling this in their own way and doing it differently, but if we look at what's happening in the UK, for example, liquor off sales are permitted, home food deliveries are encouraged, not prohibited like we have here, people in the UK are allowed out once per day to exercise, and the army hasn't been deployed over there. So we are doing things slightly differently.
I think it's necessary, not working in the national tour, but, you know, I think it's necessary. We have a very different demographic. We have over 200 informal settlements, which are exceptionally close. I mean, people are living in very close proximity. A lot of people aren't getting information. They aren't able to download it immediately off the internet. You know, so we have a very different scenario. We've also seen what's been happening in other countries. And a lot of these countries have started putting their lockdown into place after they've reached the, you know, 1,000 death mark and the 5,000 death mark. We don't want to get to that point. Rather, we protect ourselves early on for a minimum period of 3 weeks, which is really not that long in the grand scheme of things. I think the UK just implemented a 12-week lockdown. And we prevent this from spreading any further. That way, you know, we can get back up and running a lot quicker and a lot less people will need to suffer for it.
Absolutely. One agrees with the intent. But if you look at the detail of the regulation, again, it indemnifies enforcement officers from any civil actions flowing from unlawful arrests, illegal searches and seizures, or potentially being rough with individuals that they stop and search, and provided the officers are acting in good faith here. There is a proviso, but that certainly doesn't seem to encourage restraint here.
Yes, I do understand. I think there's obviously always a small amount or a large amount, rather, of fear when the army gets called in. But I think, you know, our counselors are, you know, they're available during this time. They are obviously working from home, but they are fully in charge of their particular areas. And I think if anybody does encounter something like this, that they need to contact, you know, one of their counselors or somebody in authority immediately. I don't want to be that person that predicts that these things are going to happen. I think if we abide with the protocols, we'll actually have a very smooth sailing 21 days going forward.
And use these 21 days to develop a new habit. They say it takes 21 days to develop a new habit. So what are you going to be doing as a DA caucus leader now trapped in your home for 21 days?
Well, actually, we've been exceptionally busy over the last week. Our councillors are running around, theoretically speaking, you know, trying to perform oversight, make sure the clinics have set up testing stations, making sure that water tankers are being taken to areas where they don't have, basically performing oversight over what's going on, and, you know, ensuring that our counselors are all on board, that they're feeling well, that nobody's, I mean, we're running sort of twice a week now. One of our other counselors, Councillor Del Naidu, is actually running a sort of wellness program twice a week via teleconferencing for our counselors just to manage their stress levels, because they are getting hundreds of queries at the moment. At local government, although we're not responsible for a lot of the stuff happening above us, we are on the ground as people. So a lot of queries come to them. So, you know, we don't want them overwhelmed. But basically just passing out information, helping keep people safe, making sure that, you know, where people are unable to get groceries and things like that, that they are assisted. And just, you know, keeping people informed as much as possible, because information is key here. If we are informed, we are a lot less stressed.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree with you more. And part of some very informative and useful community WhatsApp groups myself. So keep up the good work. And we're certainly here to help share the right information with people and make sure that the fake news and the hysteria doesn't spread just as quick as the virus. That was former councillor, now current DA caucus leader Lee Knott inside the city of Johannesburg with some do's and don'ts as we approach an historic lockdown tomorrow.